As I begin the podcast today, I want to remind the listeners that I would love to hear from you. You can email me at info@healingcare.org. I would love to know who you are, where you're from. Maybe you have some suggestions for some other podcast. It would be great to hear from you. I promise that if you send me an email, that you certainly will get a response. And I would be thrilled to know how this is blessing your life in order that we can continue on to minister to you. It's another great day here in Ohio. We're just moving into spring. There's a combination of very cold mornings. I went for a walk today. I walk every day, usually about 4 miles, and it was 41 degrees. It was rather cold, but by the time the afternoon hit, it was close to 65, and the sun was shining, and it was beautiful. I guess the only downside of all that is that the grass is beginning to grow, and so it won't be long to where I'm going to have to be out again with my lawnmower. I had a repairman come today and give it its annual physical and change the oil and filters and get it all ready for another year of mowing. I own a little farm, so I have about 2.5 acres that I mow. That can take quite a bit of time, although I can speed around on my zero radius mower. But be that as it may, everything else about spring is wonderful. I saw the rhododendron are starting to bloom. The azaleas are blooming. There are different flowers that begin to push their way up. I can see that soon we're going to have some tulips. So I hope it's lovely where you are. Very grateful for the magnificent creation that God has given us. We've had an interesting response from some people about the sessions I did on the Holy Spirit. It seems there's a great interest for more, and over time I will do some more teaching on the Holy Spirit. If you're interested, you can go to YouTube. There are two YouTube presentations, one called The New Normal, the other one is called People of the Presence, and you can listen to those because I talk there about the ministry of the Spirit. But I'm going to do a little bit more on the Holy Spirit here today because of the interest that people seem to have in this particular topic. So if I were going to title this particular podcast, it would be Spirit Principles. Spirit Principles. What are some of the principles that we need to learn about living life in the Holy Spirit? Now, we've already talked about that dimension of the Spirit where he comes to live within us, and then he sanctifies us, helping us to live out of who we are in Christ. He gives us spiritual gifts so that we can serve the kingdom. Then he wants to fill us with his power. Very important principles. But today we're going to talk about some others, and I'm going to take them from different places in the teachings of Paul. This might be the top 4 or 5 teachings that I find in Paul regarding the Holy Spirit. So if you have a Bible, you can go and look at some of these texts. If you're listening while driving, please don't. Just listen, and I will refer to specific passages of Scripture. So here's the first principle that I want to share with you today. It's very simple but important. God pours out his Spirit because of belief, not because of behavior. Let me say that again. God pours out his Spirit in our lives, not because of behavior, but because of belief. That kind of comes out of Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. The Galatians are trying to put requirements on the Christian life that you have to obey the law for God to be pleased with you, and then in obedience to the law, you are more secure. And Paul was quite irate about that. In Galatians chapter 3, he makes a statement essentially saying, do you think God pours out his Spirit because you obey the law? He says, no, he pours out the Spirit because you believe. It's faith that causes the Holy Spirit to be poured out in our lives. Faith in what? Faith in what Christ has done for us. Not faith in faith. Faith in the fact that Christ has made it possible that we are now the children of God. And as the children of God, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And if we have faith in that, God is able to pour out his Spirit in our lives. That's the key. I think it's wrong for us to consider that we've done something really good this week and that's going to cause God to pour out his Spirit. No, it's how much trust and faith we have in all that Jesus has done. God responds to faith. In that same passage of Scripture, Paul went so far as to say the Spirit and the law are incompatible. That's interesting. What he's saying is trying to move the Spirit to action by believing that we must obey the law doesn't work. The Spirit is a gift. He is the person, the third person of the Trinity. And he pours out in our lives because we've created a great trust. I often use the term a culture of belief. Let faith arise that we would have a culture of belief. Because spirit life is entered by faith. Faith in what Christ has done. And so that's the first principle I'll lift before you, that God pours out his spirit not because of behavior, but because of belief. The second principle comes from Galatians 4:4-7. And I know you've heard me speak to this before because it's the passage about identity where the Bible says that we are being made children of God. He puts the Holy Spirit within us and he gives us, makes us heirs. He gives us inheritance. I believe that it is the Holy Spirit that enables us to open the inheritance that is ours in Christ. Do you hear that? The Holy Spirit is within us to help us actually unlock all the treasures that are ours in Jesus Christ because of the identity that is ours. And so when we begin to think of living free, we want to turn to the Holy Spirit and say, please unlock the treasures of this freedom in my life so that I can really walk it out in you. There's just such freedom here. Freedom from measuring up, freedom from performance. And here's the upside of this. If we, by faith, allow the Holy Spirit to unlock treasures, it translates into different behavior. It translates into a changed life. We begin to walk out the holiness that is ours in Christ. And this is a very important principle. I would encourage you, driving, listening, whatever you're doing here as we're talking, simply ask the Holy Spirit, you who are present within me, you, the third member of the Trinity, help unlock within me all the treasures that are mine because I am in Jesus Christ. Once again, I encourage you to go to Ephesians chapter 1-3, underline everything that's true of you because you've had faith in Christ. Let Jesus unlock what it means to be adopted. Let him unlock what it means to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Let the Holy Spirit unlock a deeper experience and understanding of what it means to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. Okay, now we're going to go to what would be principle number three. Principle number three is a very important principle because it's telling us that we should not try to initiate, but instead participate. Now that comes out of John chapter 5, verse 19. I've mentioned this before, but it's where Jesus is saying that God is always at work and that we want the Holy Spirit to show us what God is doing so that we can then do it with him. See, our job isn't to simply go out and find opportunities for ministry. Our job is to every day watch for what God is doing and then go there with him. So let's go back to the principle. The principle is participate. Don't try to initiate. Participate in what God is doing. John Wimber once wrote in a book called Power Evangelism, we must learn to wait on God, allowing him to speak, act, lead, always yielding our right to control in whatever situation we're in. When God gives an impression, we're supposed to act upon them. If he doesn't speak to us, then we are to wait. If you happen to have that book, Power Evangelism, you can find that quote on page 155. But it's a very important quote because it's saying to us that God is always at work, and our key is, Holy Spirit, help me see what God is doing. Even today, wherever you are, if you listen to God, he'll nudge you who to pray for, maybe to stop and have a conversation, share the word of faith. Participate. Don't try to initiate. Leonard Sweet's a great writer. I love many of his books. I think the book So Beautiful is one of the best books he's written, and I require it of all my seminary students when I'm teaching. And one of the things he said that's key to the Christian life is taking the time to see what God is up to. Isn't that a good little phrase? Take the time to see what God is up to. Pay attention. That's a good principle. It can help us in our ministry of the Spirit and learning to grow and walk in the Spirit in rather new and exciting ways. And so far we've listed three very important principles. It's not behavior, but belief that unleashes the Holy Spirit. We also learned that it is the Holy Spirit that will help us unlock the treasures that are ours in Christ. Also, we have learned here that it is the Holy Spirit that is always initiating, always working, always moving, and that it's our job to participate. I think if you'd simply follow these three principles, you would find that, well, there's some new and exciting things that begin to open up to you when it comes to the issue of ministry in the Spirit. But let me give you a couple more before we end this podcast. Another principle that comes out of the Spirit is simply stated right out of the text in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. Did you hear that? The kingdom of God is not simply a matter of talk. It is also a matter of power. How many times in the Bible we see places where Jesus would heal someone, he would touch them, he would have compassion on them, and as a result, people believed. I was reading early this morning again from the book of Acts, and so stirred when we see that the disciples would act out in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and then many people would believe as a result. Paul said that demonstrations of the Spirit's power, this comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, demonstrations of the Spirit's power are what begins to attract and draw people to the message of the gospel. Whether that demonstration of the power is as soft as a whisper or as loud as a shout, the kingdom of God moves with power. God is at war with darkness, and through Jesus, he has begun to infiltrate this world with kingdom power. And that we want to remember that there comes times when we stop talking and we begin to act with authority according to the kingdom of God. I've always been challenged by 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, always. I've probably mentioned this before. Here's Paul, a learned man, a great scholar, but he says, I come to you in fear and trembling. I come to you in weakness. I don't come with persuasive words, but I come with a demonstration of God's power. Isn't that a great insight? That part of ministry is a demonstration of God's power that begins to push back darkness and allow the kingdom of God to flow. This is something that I think are important for all of us. You know, John Wesley said centuries ago now that we must do in prayer that which we hope to accomplish on our feet. So if we plan to go and share the gospel, we should first be praying for God's power, for him to begin to move in order that people will be receptive to the gospel. So I hope that you'll think about this principle and begin to open your own heart to new and deeper recognitions of the importance of letting the Holy Spirit do what only the Holy Spirit can do. Now, I think it would be important to add to that this wonderful teaching that comes out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, where Paul says, you know, don't quench the Spirit. Don't try to put the Spirit out. Don't try to control the Spirit, but give the Spirit room to work. There's a really good YouTube that my son Aaron has on, a sermon that he preached at Cornerstone Church out in Boulder, in which he talks about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It may be something you want to look at. It could help your own understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's do two more principles of the Spirit that I think are very important. And this principle comes out of a couple passages of Scripture, Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, and 2 Corinthians 1, verses 22 and 23. And what Paul is teaching is that the Holy Spirit present within us is, at one level, a seal that we belong to God. It's as if all these spiritual beings can look at people and they see those marked with a seal. And the seal is the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. That's important. You know, I want heaven and earth to recognize, well, to whom do I belong? Well, the Holy Spirit, that seal of his presence inside of me, marks me as belonging to the kingdom of God, marks you as belonging to the kingdom of God. So that's part of the principle here, that the Holy Spirit's presence is a seal. But those texts also tell us that the Holy Spirit is a down payment. He is a deposit of things yet to come. In other words, he is the first fruits, if you will, of God's full manifestation of his presence in our life that will be true when we go to be with him in heaven. And it's pretty clear that some of these first fruits are the joy of the Holy Spirit. I was reading today in, as I said, in the book of Acts, and there was a section in the book of Acts where I underlined it because I said, Lord, I would love you to do this again. The teaching comes out of Acts chapter 13, and the very last verse of that particular chapter says, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So I put a date there, and I said, please, Lord, do that again. I want to be filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That's all part of what we're talking about. It's a principle of spirit life that we are sealed in the Spirit. He is our deposit. He is our down payment. And that we want to be able to turn there and allow the Holy Spirit to well up inside of us in order that, well, we can have more joy, but also to walk in more freedom that is ours in Jesus Christ. Okay, one more spirit principle. This spirit principle comes from 1 Corinthians 12, also Romans 12, 1 Peter 5. It's also found in Ephesians 4. And the principle is the Holy Spirit loves diversity. I think diversity is the mark of the Holy Spirit. Now, most of us know the 1 Corinthians 12 is all about spiritual gifts, but I think the real topic of 1 Corinthians 12 is about diversity. The many different ways the Holy Spirit works, different gifts, different manifestation, different degrees of power. And that we should never limit our expectation of the Holy Spirit because diversity is the evidence of God's creativity. The Holy Spirit is always moving in very, very different ways. I remember once reading from a person I really admire who's now with Jesus, Clark Pinnock, and he said that we have to broaden our view of the Spirit's activity, that the Spirit is involved in everything from spiders to galaxies. Isn't that a great thought? The Holy Spirit is involved in everything from spiders to galaxies. That would mean he's also involved in everything from cells to celebrations. And that if we open our hearts and we're more attentive, we begin to see the Holy Spirit's vast and broad diversity that he brings to us as his children. Over the years of my life in Christ, which has been 40 now, many ups and downs, lots of mistakes, lots of growth because of the Spirit, I've come to understand and appreciate that the Holy Spirit is so foundational to living the Christian life. It's just not something we can do successfully by our own effort. But if we can learn Spirit principles to have a living and abiding relationship with the Spirit, as A.W. Tozer once said, the Spirit is a person that we can actually be in relationship with, that as we learn that, we begin to grow in ways we never seem possible. I know this. There is so much more to life in the Spirit than I can even describe, way more than I've ever experienced myself. But God loves it when his children say, unfold within me a greater understanding of Spirit principles, how I can walk more effectively in the life of the Spirit. And so, I want to encourage you with those principles today. Think about them, pray over them. Go to these texts, see what God has to say to you. I think you'll find that there's something very exciting and just for you. There'll be a place where you are quickened and you will know this particular principle is suddenly very important to me because of what the Holy Spirit has spoken right into my own heart. I hope you'll do that. We're going to talk more about the Spirit from time to time. I hope you're having a good day. I pray God's good, rich blessing upon you. As Paul prayed, I pray that your knowledge and understanding of Jesus would grow and that you would experience the depth of his love and that you would know that today God's face is shining on you because he loves you. May grace be abundant. God bless you. Hope to hear from you through email when you get a chance. Oh.
our hearts inspire, and let your presence prove. Use old prophetic fire, the fountain of life and love. Come, Holy Ghost, we'll move by thee. Prophets wrote and spoke. Unlock the truth, thyself the key. Unseal your sacred book. Bo, Ruach HaKodesh. Bo, Ruach Elohai. Ruach HaKodesh.